This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. General at your service. Salute to you. There's Brian Braz, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here at 75 and Fitzhugh. He'll attempt to keep the Gators down best he can. Go 5 hours flawless. G-Bag of the day is coming up at 2:30. LA Live 5:40. Got your Nosebleed Brothers, Woolchuck and Chia follow. And Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
Sore.
From what?
Got a bum wrist, guys.
Hand, that's right. Yes.
That hand is still.
No, we're fantastic. I mean, it's a TD Tuesday.
It is a TD Tuesday.
You want me to cut these lights off? I know you were talking about how it's, you know, potential concussion symptoms.
Yeah, last night was rough. But I think we're okay right now. I've gotten used to it.
Right on.
We're all good.
You think it's something you're going to have to live with the rest of your life?
I don't think I'm ever going to heal fully.
Yeah.
Well, that TD Tuesday should nourish you, as I believe Chiafalo was going to say before I cut him off.
Nectar of the gods. A nice Tuesday afternoon, a Mavericks victory Tuesday. Looking to go two in a row there versus Anthony Edwards, even though they got like 3 days worth of rest and you're on a back-to-back. It's all good stuff here. Luke is not going to go 2 for $1 million again. It's impossible.
Yeah, why not? You know, Phoenix was on the second of a back-to-back on Saturday.
Yep.
You know, it's time for the Mavs to get one. Okay, so it's official now. Stephon Diggs out for the season with the torn ACL amid the Texans' 6-2 start. They're also dealing with the absence of wide receiver Nico Collins, so your local Houston Texans fan, if you have one in your life, they need some fortification.
Man,
you
know, I like
get him a cold beer.
I like what, amen to that. I like what Wolchuk was saying off air. Like, man, Texans should have been in on Deontay Johnson.
Man, that would have been fun.
The Ravens barely give up anything, dude.
I know. It was
pick swaps.
Maybe that's just because he's an expiring contract, so it's like you're really just getting him for a half-season rental.
Exactly. Easy money. Okay, let's do it. You're a win-now team. Texans should be.
I'd have loved it.
As well, I think Deontay Johnson's legit. I think he's a true wide receiver number one, and he's going to make a difference for them. I think that was a great move.
He's a bad ball catcher, that's for sure.
And then the other big story out of the NFL today, and we'll have more with Woolchuck coming up in an hour, the NFL News of the Day every afternoon, 3 o'clock. Football's finest with the Chief at 5. But, you know, the Anthony Richardson story was just huge yesterday, and it continues to be today. The reactions from former players, you know, are pretty damning, and they're going to start Joe Flacco against the Vikings on Sunday. You know, I think if it was just that, it would be one thing, but I feel like, you know, the guy's pretty immature based on all the coverage that I've seen and some of his antics, and it's hard. Like, you got to be dialed and kind of buttoned up, tucked in kind of guy, and I think this is part of the figuring out process of what it takes. You know, there's a lot of pressure to be a pro in every way in the NFL. I don't know. I guess if you go back and do it again, you just fake a cramp right there, you know, or you're like, oh, I got my bell rung, boss. You know, if you're super tired, just like figure out a different way to do it.
You
got to
be a little careful, though, because there was a guy in high school that said that he got his bell rung, and then we went and he was like, he took himself out and he was done. And then when you go back to watch the tape, there was no bell ringing done.
Okay.
So that was a bad look. So you got to at least make it seem like if you got tackled in the gut area, you could say you had the wind knocked out of you. You could always just go to, at any moment when you're in emergency, bubble guts.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Coach, you know, you do a little clinching walk, you know, that high tiptoe type of clinching walk.
Yep.
You come off the field. Everybody's going to know.
We've all done it. Yeah. And no one's going. Everybody's going, oh, my gosh. Now you're a sympathetic figure walking off. Now we're all talking to ourselves. Yeah. Why don't we have a Porta-John right here ready to go for our guy? Maybe he wouldn't even have to miss a snap. Maybe he would. Okay. But I think that would have probably been his best move. And you're kind of, it's a little bit funny at that point, but it's only 10 starts for him.
Yeah.
This is his 10th start.
Still a rook.
I mean, but he was also like the poster boy for dude who wasn't ready coming out and probably could use a year off, if not more.
Yeah.
And they kind of threw him in there.
Yeah, he had 13 college starts. I mean, he was a big time question mark when we were watching him coming out. The physical gifts that he has.
Undeniable.
Absolutely. And as a runner, he's extremely gifted. But it was very Jekyll and Hyde at Florida, too. I mean, there would be an amazing game, and then it was what's going on here. It was just very erratic. But, I mean, I wonder, they probably didn't want to make this move. But I think this is something where my guess would be enough of the players in that locker room were like, eh, we believe that Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to win here.
Yeah,
and we're kind of out. After you're taking yourself out of the game, third and goal at the quarterback position. It sucks that you were honest, and this is now going to come back to hurt you, and you're losing your starting job, because I don't think you should be punished for being honest, but that's kind of what we're looking at here. As a quarterback, you can't do that, and you're going to lose people by doing that. You're not a leader.
Yeah, this is, you know, if you look at the Colts, they're two games back in that division now, and you see what Joe Flacco did last year for Cleveland when he stepped in. Got him to the playoffs. Colts are about to go on a run right here where their season will be on the line. The second, if you look at after the bye, they've got Denver, the Titans, the Giants, and the Jaguars. If they're still hanging around with a chance for a playoff spot,
Joe Flacco, win those games.
They got to win those games. But right now they're looking at Minnesota. They got Buffalo at home. They got the Jets away. They got the Lions and then the Patriots.
Okay.
You know, they're going to try and find a way to navigate those games with Joe Flacco and see if they can get this thing into, because the last part of their season after the bye gives them the best chance to maybe get one of those last playoff spots. But that's what we know about Joe Flacco. He could kind of play well enough on offense to get you into the playoffs. And I think that Chris Ballard, the general manager there, I know I chimed in with the midday guys about this. Chris's job's on the line. It is on the line. I mean, they made this choice. I mean, Jim Irsay has kind of been patient with him about some of the moves that he's made. And, you know, they go out and they try and get a quarterback. Here's an organization that forever it seemed like they'd hit it right on quarterback. When you go from, you know, when you look at who all's, played quarterback, the history of them, you know, since. But they look like this one might be wrong for them. And they've got to find a way. Chris has got to find a way to get this thing in the playoffs. And maybe Joe Flacco gives him the best chance to save his job.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to play the guy as long as you're a rebuilding team and you're willing to be patient with stuff. But then you're like, hey, we're actually kind of good if he's not in there. And, oh, by the way, this happened. Might have lost the locker room, not a great leader. Maybe this is a perfect time to give him a break, give him a chance to reevaluate and kind of reset everything that it takes to be a quarterback in this league. So those are your biggest stories outside of the Cowboys. Jerry Jones was back on the Fan this morning, talked about a variety of things, including the running quarterback, you know, which I think that's why Anthony Richardson was taken so high, even though he'd only played 13 starts and didn't have a great command of the passing game. It's because running the ball is more important than it's ever been. And if you can get a guy who's a weapon like that and can be sufficient in the pass game, you can win very quickly. But on Dak running, Jerry said you really don't want to see him take off with the ball. These quarterbacks that run, they're going to get injured, and that happens. It happens to the youngest. It happens to the best. It happened to Dak. And I wouldn't say it's up there in red letters at the practice facility, don't run, but I would say that we want him to be smart about it, and he is being smart about it. However, when will we when he sees the opportunity pull down and run it, he will run the ball. So I think Jerry is, you know, for the most part, right on about that. I don't know if Dak should be running right now. I don't think he should be, because you're not close to the Super Bowl. The closer you get to a Super Bowl, the more you're willing to run. Right now, this is a rebuilding team. And in a couple of years, you're going to come out of that rebuild. You don't want Dak recovering from another significant surgery from trying to run you to 9-8 instead of 7-10. You guys with me on that?
I do get what you're saying there, but I don't know that that's the context of it. I think even in a make or break it sort of regular season game, Dak wouldn't even run. It seems like he's completely out on it. And it's not to say that you have to run. You don't have to be Jalen Hurts running 10 times in a game like he did over the weekend. Not asking you to be Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson, but Mahomes and Purdy are scrambling nicely. Can we get two or three? Can you just steal a first down or two?
Yeah.
You don't have to take a hit. I'm not asking you to go Cam Newton and just bully people Josh Allen style. Like, just when it's obvious to take off and go get 7 or 8 yards, go do it. Slide. Get down. Like, we don't need huge plays. It's just, if you want to win games, I think at this point you can't be super stationary guy. Not when your pocket is giving you little opportunity to succeed and you're making terrible decisions with your eyes and all that stuff when it comes to the turnovers.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you providing at this point? You have to be able to scramble for a first down from time to time.
100%. Yeah, I think that, and that's what I would say back to Jerry, like, I'll stand on what I said. I don't want Dak running this year. I just don't think the reward is worth the risk.
And I get that.
But, Jerry, you have to acknowledge that Pat Mahomes is out here winning the Super Bowl by running for, what, 45 or 50 yards?
Yeah.
You know, in these big games, the quarterbacks have a decision. Do I want to throw into coverage? Do I want to throw it away, or do I want to run? And right now, Dak doesn't throw it away, and he doesn't run.
No.
So it's just throwing into coverage in these moments. I would say the situation pretty desperately calls for a guy willing to take a first down with his legs. I
wonder what they see in Trey Lance then.
You got to start it with good enough in the passing game and then go to the running. That's, you can't start with a runner to do this.
I think what people want is, like, can you get a Trey Lance package in? Like they did with Taysom Hill. That dude can run. If you don't want to run Dak, you don't know anything to Trey Lance. Throw Trey Lance in there for a play. Give it to him. Let him run.
The problem with Richardson, you're right. He just, you know, the 7 interceptions is a problem. You have to be able to throw it well enough. You know, and if you're going to make mistakes and you're not going to be accurate, and running doesn't matter. It really, really doesn't. But you just kind of wonder, because Trey Lance's game is about his mobility, you know. And I personally feel like he throws the ball better than Anthony Richardson right now, just what I've seen so far. But to me, I just kind of wonder, if you don't want your quarterback to run, I just don't see Trey Lance as a drop back, throw it a bunch guy. I kind of see a guy that can kind of run around and, you know, I trust me, I watched Texas A&M make a quarterback change the other day, and it just completely killed LSU's game plan to stop a guy that can run, you know, and also, the way he was able to run and throw the ball. If Texas A&M starts anybody other than him, that's coaching malpractice. But running quarterbacks are a huge, huge problem for teams to deal with. You saw what it did to your own, what Brock Purdy did to you the other night.
Yes.
You know, that supplement of, 50 yards, extra yards in a running, those are hidden yards right there if your quarterback
can do. Just as many rushing yards as your entire team did.
Yeah. Last year in the playoffs, Dak did run for 45 yards, but that was part of a year where he's running about 2.5 times more last year than he has so far this year. You kind of do have to wonder what was up with that boot, and was there an injury that came along with that has made him significantly less athletic or maybe compromised to a point that he's like, man, I really don't want to be even trying to explode in that way right now. Yep. So, yes, that one is interesting. And at the start of a brand new contract with him, it's like, is this going to be how it is? And can you theoretically win like this? Jerry, on faith in the players, I have a lot. I have a lot of faith in the coaching staff as well. We'll have some players coming back from injury that will play critical roles for us. We ought to get better. 17-game season. Let's get this thing turned around and have a storybook ending to a rough start. He's still selling the hope. At what point do you acknowledge, hey, we're just not that good? And actually talking about this just continues to put pressure on a bad football team. You wouldn't take a team full of young players that had no shot, no experience, and that's a lot of what the foundation of your team is made of right now, and say, guys, we got to win. You know, this should be about, and Mike says that. When Mike's talking, he says it accurately. You know, but
he knows it's a growth kind of year.
Yeah.
But Jerry doesn't.
Okay, Mavs at T-Wolves tonight after hammering the Jazz with great defense last night. I called for it. They delivered, didn't they? Mm. They were closing out so hard. Utah ends up shooting 29 free throws. And, you know, Mavs could have held them easily in the 90s. But Spencer Dinwiddie hit some big shots. It was great to see him.
It was.
Kyrie was great with 23 and 9. Klay Thompson, I don't think he made more than half of his shots, but he made some big ones. And he makes shooting look so easy. He had another 18 points. Luka, really tough shooting night. I think he was 1 of 9 from 3. 15 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. So he filled out the box score pretty good. But, hopefully he's got it going tonight against a kind of a rebuilt T-Wolves team, right? Out is Karl-Anthony Towns and in is Julius Randle.
Yeah, and Anthony Edwards is becoming just a three-point guy. He's jacking him up from three. He's not the mid-range dude. He's not getting to the rim the same way. He's not efficient there. It's super early, but he's taken a lot more threes so far. Maybe trying to conserve that body a little bit.
Yeah. Could have learned something with that run last year, possibly.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you can figure out how to not to expend so much energy and still get your 30, save some of that for defense, it'd be a, you know, a great plan to try to figure that out between now and the postseason, because it was evident he was gassed. And it's not easy, you know. But
no, it's not. I mean, when you're carrying a team, I mean, honestly, it's funny that we're talking about this, because last night with the Mavericks, I'm thinking, holy crap, the Luka usage rate now. You look at everybody else that's capable of scoring. Yes. This is going to be super beneficial for him. I mean, the fact that they've got all their starters in double figures, Lively and Dinwiddie doing what they do coming off the bench. You just needed 15 from Luka last night. You got Kyrie, who's able to kind of run things. Dinwiddie off the bench. Hardy, if you need to spell Luka for a little bit. They're going to be able to keep him a lot more fresh, the longevity of the season, with how deep they are.
They overwhelmed Utah. Utah had no answers for what they were bringing, and that's a great point. Their depth should allow them to win games and hopefully reduce Luka's usage significantly. The Dodgers have taken a commanding 3-0 series lead against the Yankees. I love it. You know, New York being denied. This is actually starting to be a pretty lengthy run for them without being able to get the job done. I think we're at 14 or 15 years. And obviously, the Rangers had a big say in that back in the day, getting that streak underway. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation. Have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. And coming up next, gentlemen, where are we going?
Yeah, I'll mix in. Let's mix in a little quick puck and around the bases. We got to shout out this Dallas Star. And oh my goodness, could the Rangers be about to take their first L of the offseason? That's next.
Hey, buddies, welcome back. G-Bag of the Day coming up in about 8 minutes. Segment of the Nation brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. Call 866-90-NATION. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And, of course, it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Last Flagtober stop is tomorrow. Whataburger in Grand Prairie off 161 by the Walmart. Here's Wolchuk, some quick puck.
Stars are in Finland. They're getting ready for the NHL Global Series, and they are the best team in the NHL to be participating in this in Finland, because they have dominated NHL scouting when it comes to getting Finnish players. Over the past 30 years, the Dallas Stars have become the NHL's prime destination for Finnish players. According to the Dallas Morning News, they've hosted 24 Finns in their history, more than any other franchise. They've got three active Finnish players, Miro, Roope Hintz, Esa Lindell, and they got three more in the farm system. So they're crushing it. They have had at least one Finnish player on their roster every year since they moved to Dallas in 93. Yeah. That is wild. Always having a player from Finland. So right now they're hanging out. They went to a sauna as a team last night, right after they got off the plane.
Team sauna set. Team sauna. Dude, that's bonding.
And of course, with three guys that are from the area,
they knew the best sauna.
Yeah,
in town.
They know exactly where to go. So Esa Lindell said, sauna is a huge part of life in Finland. Mm. It is very important. For me, it's a way to relax and put behind what happened in the day, your work or whatever. You can relax and just sweat it out a bit.
It's beautiful, man.
Just get a good sweat out.
Well said.
So I'm excited to just get all the content from the Stars in Finland. Now, Matt Duchene, after a fantastic week, he was named the NHL's third star of the week. He had 6 points, 3 goals. 3 assists over 3 games this past week. So he earned those honors. Of course, the Stars knocked off the Blackhawks over the weekend 4-2.
I like the way you slowed that one down.
Well, I know that you like to kind of come
you
in.
You just got
to
be careful.
You
got to be careful.
Make sure that the right words were said there. So Friday, they'll have their first game. It'll be against Florida. I mean, heck, that could be a Stanley Cup final preview. Panthers, your defending Stanley Cup champion. They've been to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row. The Stars trying to finally break through, looking to go to their third straight Western Conference final and then finally make it back to the Cup final since the Bubble Cup there in
That's
Edmonton.
Right. Well, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Sure do. So this is going to be a fun game in Finland on Friday. Now, moving over around the bases, as Dawson mentioned, Dodgers have a chance to sweep this thing tonight. And history tells you this thing's not going past 5 games. In fact, I think only 4 times in the history of Major League Baseball when a team's gotten up 3-0, there's even been a Game 5 where the team's won Game 4 to force it.
21 series that have
been? Yes.
Yeah, so crazy.
Unbelievable.
I think it's a bullpen game for the Dodgers tonight.
For the Dodgers.
So maybe we can go ahead and get this thing back to NYC.
Maybe we'll be able to hear like, Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
That's a pretty good John Sterling right there.
I don't think that was a good bit when he was a younger broadcaster.
You didn't think it was good?
There's just a little bit too much elderly shake voice going on in there right now. Yeah, Dodgers are totally dominating. Yankees are all falling flat at the worst possible time.
Judge has been really bad.
Doing their best. Alex Rodriguez, I guess you would call that. They're all going full A-Rod. Mookie Betts is dominating, as you would expect.
He's dominating, and the pitching's been fantastic. I mean, Walker Buehler, what he was able to do last night was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, he was brilliant. He's earned himself some money, but this is the scary thing. So Juan Soto, prized free agent to be, is he going to go back to the Yankees? Maybe, but the reports are that came Dodgers. Out yesterday. Yeah, the Dodgers are expected to join in on the free agency sweepstakes for Juan Soto. It's like, are you kidding me? You've got Mookie Betts. You already have Freddie Freeman, who's now hit a home run in six straight World Series games, dating back to this series with Atlanta when they won. That's unreal. Like, he comes in with a gimpy ankle. What does he do? Walk off grand slam game one, lead off home run. His first at bat, Otani's on. He comes up, boom, there you go. Gets him a great start.
That's how you do it, Ray.
It's unbelievable what the Dodgers are doing here. You had Juan Soto. This thing gets scary.
Ray's like, can't go paying luxury tax. They'll take draft picks away from us. Dodgers are like, we're luxury tax.
FN picks.
We don't have draft picks, so we better sign like one superstar every year. This will be just fine. That's how you get a TV deal, Ray. Sitting around here, where's our TV money? Buy some dang good players. Make the playoffs 2 years in a row, Ray. Maybe, the TV dollars will come flying your way.
Yeah, it's like we're worried about signing Nathan Eovaldi. Yeah. That would be an afterthought for the Dodgers. Like, yeah, of course we got the money.
Do you
for
think
Eovaldi.
You can run faster than what Stanton ran last night? That play at the plate?
Dude, no. That was...
Do you feel like you might have scored on that?
We got to have a next gen. What's the next gen speed on that? We got to have that.
14 or so.
That was.
I don't see a lot of next gen speed when it comes to MLB. Sometimes they have with
the bag
bases.
Speed.
I'll tell you what, it's because they keep those chips in the shoulder pads.
Oh.
So we'd have to find a place where you put them on a belt. Someone's belt or
Stanton's
something.
Stanton's got big enough shoulders. You could put a chip in there.
The other day, we didn't have stats for Chase at Cincinnati because he must have changed shoulder pads at halftime.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, when they change pads, we don't get the numbers. Yeah.
That's a frequent occurrence, the changing of the shoulder pads? I know the pants.
I would think, something busts in the pad. And we lost data on him because of the game, because of... He changed shoulder pads. Mm-hmm.
Stan's just a walking false advertisement because he looks just physically.
He does.
It's amazing how slow he ran.
Well, he's had a great postseason until the World Series, which is what a lot of these Yankees offensive players are saying.
Yeah. Well, he can't move. It's like he can swing a baseball
slowing him down.
He looks physically as impressive as it gets, and then watching him run was like. It was eye of popcorn muscles. I felt for him.
Yeah,
like is he hurt?
You're yelling like run, run, and he's just not,
why aren't you
not
running?
Going in, he's not going anywhere.
That was not good effort.
No,
Will Venables, he is drawing interest from other teams to be their manager. Now we've kind of been hearing the whispers. You know, maybe he's the Rangers.
Manager in waiting. Yeah.
Whenever Boch decides to go ahead and retire. And I think this might be the last year of Boch's deal. He's the assistant coach, and Venable last year had some opportunities, but according to a White Sox reporter, Chicago's managerial search has been narrowed down to four names. Venable is one of them, along with Grady Sizemore, Phil Nevin, and Craig Albernaz of the Guardians. So he's also possibly a finalist for the Marlins job. So you look at the White Sox and the Marlins might be coming here to poach your manager of the future, and Will Venable be interesting. Could be a big L already this offseason for the Rangers if they were to lose him.
Yeah, that'd be tough. You know, I don't want to come back to Ray again, but you know, my thought would be if I'm a hot managerial candidate and I see how we followed up the World Series by turning over our belly and worrying about profits. You know, a guy in his mid-80s wanting to take the most possibly he can with him. You're not going to be able to spend it afterwards, Ray. Go ahead and build a legacy. Build a brand, for crying out loud. I wouldn't want to come back if I was Boch. I see CY wants to come back. He's got a family here, right? So I'm gonna lock in for the next 10 years, try to get us some more championships, and we'll see how committed we are when my kids are graduating high school.
Is it worth moving on from Boch if you don't want to lose this guy?
No, not at all.
If Boch is only going to manage one more year.
No, it's not worth it.
It's
Fair question.
Good question, though. Yeah, but I just think Boch is special.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Will Venable, I've heard great things about, but he might not end up being a good manager. I don't know.
It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
Something new. Something new.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, buddy.
Woolchuck said he heard the whispers. Boy, as soon as you said that, I said, hey, in my head. That's what happened in my head. Somebody said the whispers. I was like, oh, yeah. They big old mustaches. Oh, man. Shout out to them boys.
The Walking LA soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a gift and a curse, I'll tell you what. All right, let me get back to this. Okay, let me get back to that. Get back to the other vibe. Okay, our winner so far is a depressed Cowboys fan. He thinks his team sucks, the Cowboys. So he is just berating the team with a whole lot of diss tracks. A whole lot. I think this is maybe 3 or 4 or 5. I don't know, man. This is right after they lost to the 49ers.
It's in the game.
Mike McCarthy on the beat. Hope we won't win another game any week, bro. We won't be the playoff team because we stink, bro. Got me putting on my shoulder pads. Got me walking around like Tizo. Why running game so bad? Got me really thinking. Who the fuck we got for GM? Because he really stinks. This shit, our GM used to coach Abe Lincoln. The window for that Super Bowl is steady shrinking. The family matter and the truth of the matter. It was God's plan to show y'all we sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Hey, picking up the team. Hey, picking up the team. Sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Sorry ass team. We a Super Bowl fraud. Hey, picking up the team. Hey, picking up the team. Are we locked in? Hell no. Are we going to win? Hell no. Now lose this game. What? Lose that game. Now what? Lose what? This game. What? Lose what? That game. What? Damn, this team sucks.
Damn, this team sucks, son. Now, yesterday, you boys called that a banger. I'm not going to disagree with you because, you know, the music is, it could be anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was kind of mid-pack to me. I think we all talked about how it sounded like he had it in the tuck already.
He mm-hmm. might have. Might
waited
have.
For it to drop.
Might yeah. have. The tuck. I like
he
that.
He dropped something else.
Yeah.
Oh.
And this one's fire.
Here we go.
Yeah, this is not a mid-pack. I don't know if I'm going to play it yet because it's like two, you know, songs back to back by the same guy on G-Bag of the Day. So I don't know what I'm doing with it. I just don't know what I'm doing with it yet.
Can't glaze it too hard.
Put on it, man.
Maybe dunk on his other song.
Yeah.
Would this be a first?
Yeah, we can't glaze him too. It would be. That's why I haven't done it yet. I just don't know what to do about that. I need it. And it won't be a combo pack either. You know what I'm saying? Those have to be separate.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Let's go to this one then. They were scrapping at the end of the Michigan State game.
Again, yeah.
They were scrapping
after it.
Yeah, that tight end, Michigan's tight end. Was it Colston Loveland or something like that?
Loveland, yeah.
Loveland, big boy, talking big after that.
What happened here at the end? I know you were kind of a part of it. Can you just take me through, from your vantage point, what you saw there?
Yeah, I mean, little bro, stay doing little bro things, you know? So, MSU to little bro, they can do whatever they want. We knew it was going to get chippy, but, you know, everything within the confines of the game, we do right. And then after, they want to get busy, we'll get busy.
Was it strong? A fair fight this time? Remember last year?
It wasn't in the tunnel last time.
Yeah, it was in the tunnel last time. That was.
I was just thinking about that guy the other day.
That was bad.
Yeah.
How terrified he must have been. They wouldn't let him go.
They would not let him go.
That's real hatred they got.
This one was
they
on the field.
They
got to
use the bunny system from now on.
This was on the field. Yeah.
Nice. So if you want to go, we can go, bro.
After they kneeled down, they went after
brother
it.
Syndrome.
Let's go to the KMC Masterpiece. Yesterday they had Cowboys COO Stephen Jones. This is Brass, Big Brass. Okay? And he's asking this man about Trayvon Diggs and the nuts.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for your time, man. We will get back with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys.
What an incredible ending to that interaction, man.
Okay.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good.
Oh, I got to hear him just.
Yes.
When he realizes what's being asked to him.
And says, you can talk about D's nuts.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
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 Well, what the hell are we doing here?
The disappointed dad.
I know he was looking up at the clock like, what?
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing I got to worry about today.
I can't get enough of that, dude. That is phenomenal.
Cut these interviews to 10 minutes, please.
I liked it on Friday because we got to have fun. There was levity in the air, right? Yeah. You guys don't got to be so serious.
Right.
I mean, if you really care that much about winning, then go do something about it. Don't right. be a pain in the butt on a Monday. You know, let's cut up. Yeah. D's Nuts is a legendary line. We can't get a response from the co-owner.
You can't get a response from the co-owner about these nuts?
About these nuts?
Oh, now you're worried about losing.
And you had the champion. Talk about these nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. How about how dejected he sounded when he was initially asked about it? He's like, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
But like, he just sounded so down and out for the count.
Yeah.
He had a long flight, guys.
Well, yeah, and his sister's just got a broken rib.
That's
and
right.
Brother's got a concussion, and you just lost again. I mean, it was a rough weekend.
I mean, Jerry talking about that this morning sounded like the car got just crushed.
It sounded terrible.
Yeah.
I'm glad, it was like a
huge
okay.
collision. Yeah.
So did they pay for it? Did somebody else pay for that?
I think it was driver's fault.
Ooh.
I think ran into one of those scary heavy barriers that comes down the VIP lots.
Yeah.
Trying to keep the riffraff out of there with a 2-ton.
Ooh, I would be a good driver. Yeah. Like a chauffeur type driver vibe. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm so good
you
at
miss
driving,
miss all the potholes?
Dog. Yeah, man, I'm so good at driving, dog.
You know, Lucy, you go to school and learn how to drive for government people. Yeah, rich people. So you learn how to go backwards about 120 miles an hour and spin it around. Yeah. Yeah, and then keep it going forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can see that.
Drive up on the curb and kind of pop it over, you know?
Transporter style.
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the depressed Cowboys fan. He's back with another one. Just
here we go.
Berating the Cowboys with diss tracks. This right here is in the key of Meet the Grahams. Meet the Cowboys.
Damn. CTE Records.
Damn. Dear Jerry, the team is really starting to look bad and it's getting scary. Like why we ain't call up Derrick Henry to get some carries? Like why every week we going out there and getting buried? Like why every week we go out and take belt to ass? The only time we win is if the other team is trash. And that just got me mad and make me wanna go and crash. And I don't really mean to bash, how long your tenure's gonna last? Throw the whole team in the trash. Dear Dak, I know that you wish you could get your hairline back. I know you wish them corners would come back in all black.
Oh.
I know you wish them in and outs were sharper than the tack, but they not, and that's a fact. So please stop throwing them picks. Who you throwing to, bro? Do you need your vision fixed? Is your makeup visor dirty? Do you need to make a switch? Is your makeup cleat slipping?
It's a strong dude.
That
passion.
That is better.
They're good.
Just
I think
dissecting these boys.
Yeah, a little passion. Better.
Lyricism.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a record of his. You know, I don't think they do those anymore, but, you know, back in the day as a radio station, you'd like mint a bunch of those up, go hand them out to your listeners.
You got to go to the DSPs and see if he's got a list of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Digital streaming platforms.
Digital streaming. Okay. All right. We'll look up Depressed Cowboys fan right there. You get all your cuts. Is it Depressed Cowboy fan the champion? With the Kendrick Lamar remix. Is it Michigan tied in Loveland? Talking trash to Lil Bro over there at Michigan State. Hagee and Steven Jones, go get Cowboys, the capper there for majors. Depressed Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Meet the Cowboys. I'm going to go with Hagee and Steve here, Chief. How about you?
Same here, man.
Lucian?
I think I will, too.
Wolchuk?
Yeah, I could very well be G-Bag of the Year.
Brian?
I'm going to throw a vote for Depressed Cowboy, the second version.
All righty. By a score of 4-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Hagee's question to Steven Jones.
with the super disappointed dad response. Okay, coming up next here, little rim, little afternoon rim, Chief.
Yeah, we got Klay Thompson history and no reason to fear this Western Conference contender next in the nation.
Yes, sir. Life is good. G-Bag Nation, we want to see you tomorrow. Last Flagtober stop of the year. Whataburger off 161 in Grand Prairie there, right next to Walmart there. 2630-161. Hope to see you there. Pick up a G-Bag Nation flag. Have a Whataburger and some fellowship. Here's Chief with some basketball discussions.
Gosh, we have the ESPN NBA channel up right now. They just showed the Dwayne Wade statue face again, and it is as jarring the 12th time to seeing it as it was the first time. Just a minute, did you guys see the quotes he had on that?
Yeah, he was okay with it.
I can't wait to read these quotes. But let's go ahead.
The artistry behind it, right?
Let's cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when the Mavs get the victory, and Klay Thompson makes history with 15 three-pointers in the first three games with a franchise. That is what he has now done with the Mavericks. So that's pretty cool. That's the thing that we desperately needed and wanted to see for sure, and you felt good about. There's some good reasoning behind it. He's a monster, and he's being set up beautifully, but almost 20 points a game right now, five threes per game, and doing it at an almost 46% clip.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm going to say he's going to have a bigger impact than I expected. He's bringing something to the team, a sense of urgency, a basketball IQ, a quickness in decision-making that I think this offense is going to benefit tremendously from. His defensive awareness is such that he does not have to be a great on-the-ball defender to help your team defensively. So I'm ecstatic about what Klay Thompson. Now I understand he's hot, and I'm ready for massive downturns and horrible shooting months.
Yeah,
but this is a great addition.
Yeah, I mean, offensively right now, it just fits so beautifully. Like him in this offense right now, the attention he draws. I mean, you're seeing moments where PJ Washington, who is struggling from three or whatever, but he's getting wide open looks because two guys are attached to Klay Thompson behind the line.
Yeah,
and Klay Thompson is just getting open look after open look. 88% of his threes are considered open or wide open.
Yeah.
So and he's hitting, you know, 46% of his threes right now. So he's getting fantastic looks. I think the defensive stuff, you want to be able to see a little bit more Marshall and Quentin Grimes in the Phoenix game versus Booker. You know, Booker got the best of him pretty good.
Yeah.
He had like four fouls, and it's like shooting foul, Devin Booker. You know, he can't, but that's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
And so you need to see Marshall and Grimes have some of those opportunities there, but obviously it's early and it's still a feeling out process.
Yeah, really deep team. You're going to need Marshall and Grimes. But, you know, I think Klay Thompson's shooting ability, the quick release, you know, it's such a weapon. I don't want to take it off the court. Yeah.
You keep seeing like, it's like half a second.
Yep. Yeah, with perfect
catch
form.
And shoot. Yep. Yeah, just money. Yeah. Money. Yeah. Love to see it. Love to see it.
Well, the thing that makes him so special for you is the fact that he can get his shot from anywhere.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go stand in the corner and take those shots. He can get the ball out top in the corner. Doesn't matter. He can make it from anywhere.
And a defense like Utah that's not paying great attention, it's just like, oh, there's another shot right in your face. Yeah. You didn't even realize it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Now, man, it was disgusting last night with Ole.
That was.
They called it an ugly game, I know. Talking to some dudes over there.
Well, the injury.
Oh, well, it was an ugly game. I mean, yeah. Luka was not himself. The overall 3-point shooting was not good, but you did have to continue playing basketball after seeing as disgusting of an injury as you'll ever
brutal.
See. And especially with just how innocuous it was. Like there was no wasn't like he was coming down off the rim. It wasn't like a Paul George running into something weird.
Like tripping on yourself and then the leg just like gets caught and bent backwards. Oh my gosh.
Just brutal, man. Totally brutal. So hated to see that last night, that's for sure.
We've seen way too much of that in the NFL last couple of weeks and
yeah. Oh, yeah. With old Hutchinson. That's true. We're like kind of two for two.
It's
on
like
these
a hospital
right now.
TV show where they're getting rolled into the ER with the most gruesome injuries.
It's the worst one. It's the worst one. I can't stand it. Now, don't tell that to Joe Mazzulla because he's here for all the physicality and all the injuries. Head coach of the Celtics. He says, quote, the biggest thing that we rob people of these days from an entertainment standpoint is you can't fight anymore. This is a real quote. He was on with Zoe and Beetle there in New England. I wish you could bring back fighting.
Wow.
I just don't get why some sports are allowed to clear the benches. I mean, we just have a ball. The other sport has one of the hardest surfaces and playing instrument in pucks and sticks, and we're not allowed to throw down a little bit? That was his rhetorical question on the air.
Okay, okay.
I mean, you know Mad Dog is cheering on top of the tallest mountain right now. Havlicek and company.
Yeah.
Bill Laimbeer, you know, just pitched a tent somewhere. He's having to sit down. And
I think in a lot of ways it would be more entertaining. I think they're worried about, you know, what happened in the 70s where there was so much fighting. It had a difficult time becoming mainstream. It was too tough.
Yeah.
You know, but I think now that it's broken through that and has established itself, a little like fight every now and then would be great for eyeballs.
But if you went back, Dawson, Chief, you ever seen the Rudy Tomjanovich clip?
Yes, guys actually pointed me in that direction at some point.
That's why the NBA doesn't want you fighting.
Real bad.
That's why they don't want
that
you
guy. Fight. Yeah, because you're giant and you are on a solid punching surface that's just perfect for planting and delivering. On hockey, you got to like hold the guy and you're trying not to slip. So you're like trying to get really good foundation for punching. You know, I read the book, The Punch, and
ruined a lot of lives that way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's really incredible that he survived it. It nearly killed him. It nearly took his the cap right off of his head.
Gosh,
it was nuts.
It was brutal.
But that's a pretty legendary quote there from Joe Mazzulla.
And it would just break you up. You wouldn't even get a foul or nothing like that. It just break you fools up.
Yeah.
Well, jump ball.
Yeah, you'll have a fifth jump ball.
Just go sit down.
I think I saw a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar punch Kent Benson.
Oh, yeah, he was a good fighter.
Yeah, Benson elbows him, and then Jabbar's like, I've had enough. Yeah. And he just swings, like, right, and then Benson gets hit. And
he showed up at the arena ornery. Yeah. Like, Kareem did not want to play around with anybody's foolishness, and he could fight, but it was a matter of, like, your game. There were fights in the finals. Like, there's a fight. And, you know, we'll get them separated and get this game back underway here soon.
Quickly. I'm down for that, dude. I'm down for that. I like me some Joe Mazzulla. I've come around on him in a big way. We have Pat Riley. Speaking of a guy who would fight, it's Pat Riley and Udonis Haslam of the Miami Heat. He might get a statue now.
Haslam?
Somebody says they should just name the bench after him. And I actually think that would be a pretty awesome deal.
I know he was around forever. He's, the longest tenured Miami Heat player?
Yeah, but you're using that term very loosely to describe the last, 6 years of his career.
He didn't actually play?
Yeah. but he was an enforcer guy, locker room roster, guy, you know, end of the bench guy
for
half his career. it was amazing. Some guys do that for like the final year or two of their career. That's pretty much 50% of his resume. And I hope he never hears this because I do fear him.
Yeah,
for real. But the Dwayne Wade statue continues to be hilarious. We find out that Dwayne Wade was actively involved in the making of the sculpture. He completely signed off on everything. His quote is that it don't need to look like me. It's an artistic version of me. And if that was the standard, then I would say you absolutely nailed it.
It's very artistic.
It looks like a lot of other people. Than you, but the fact that he was directly involved with when it unveiled, he was one of like three people that had totally knew exactly what to expect. Everybody else was surprised. The Heat organization, everybody. I'm like, dude, couldn't you do a statue swap in the middle of the night at some point and just fix that face? Could you cut the face off and put a new statue face
just
on
3D
there?
Print it, you know? We can get around this. I'm disappointed. I thought it was a perfect opportunity to finally get some accountability here for the statue makers who are off doing their own thing, just ruining. I mean, in this case, it's D. Wade, so it's kind of funny.
It's hilarious.
But usually it's somebody we admire and respect.
I see the statue maker's vision, though.
Yeah?
He made like a 65-year-old D. Wade, so when he comes back and sees it, it's like, look, it does look like him now.
You haven't aged a day.
It's just like the fool.
He's playing the long game.
Yeah. I see the vision.
I'm still blown away at that, man. My goodness. But he's cool with it. He loves it. So statues of people don't have to look like the people. Idiots. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I was wrong all along. Thank you, Chief. NFL News of the Day coming up next. Woolchuck, what's in store?
We got trades, loopholes, and is this doable? That's next in the Nation.